Avocado.
Avocado.
You are now listening to The Young God, a podcast for the gods.
So when people say believe in yourself, it's bullshit. It's total bullshit, because believing in yourself is like when somebody says, believe me. I have to have experienced you for me to believe. I don't know how to drive a plane, but I tell myself, let me believe in myself to go and drive a plane. I would die. Because I don't have the content to believe in. So believing in yourself begins with you doing something. So I put the work, and then at that point in time, when I got to the edge, I now believed in myself to do it again. Because I'm like, if I can do this now, I've seen it, then I believe in myself. So I started believing in myself to do it again when I was able to do it the first time.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rodney Amokachi, and you are welcome to the very first conversation of season 4 of The Young God. It is good to be back. My guest today is a Forbelist alumni. He made the 30 under 30 list 2 years ago, I believe. He's also the founder and CEO of iCreate Africa, a vocational skill company that is making waves out here. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Bright Jaja, as in J-A-J-A, as in shining light. This nigga is bright. This nigga is like bright in every sense of the word. He's bright mentally, like he's smart as hell. He is bright in terms of his language and how he speaks and the way his voice is just coming through in the mics. He is, he's bright, man. And Jaja, as in J-A-J-A, what can I say? And I'm so happy to have him. This has been a long time coming. We've been trying to do this for 2 years since he made the list. We're trying to get him on, but, you know, schedules and things. But now he's here, and he gave us basically, among other things, his blueprint for world domination. Like, so he details how, like, he details the things that he did to make the list and the things he's doing to surpass all of that, to like change the world, to be part of something that is truly life-changing in this country and beyond. And I can't wait for you guys to experience this gentleman. He is a class act, he's a god, he is everything and more, and I learned so much. I'm sure you guys will too. So there you have it. Without saying too much, let's get into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming for two gods to sit in the same motherfucking space and talk shit. We first met, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, Bright Jaja.
Let's go, man.
Say hello to the people, man.
What's up, people? I know you guys have been waiting for this. I have been looking forward to this too, so I can't wait to just jump in and just say a bunch of shit.
Actually, a couple of people have been waiting for this
time. Somebody actually sent me a DM. I'm like, yo, you gotta get on this podcast. I'm like, at the right time.
We will.
So yeah, let's do
shit, man. First of all, I have to say that I'm super proud of you and everything you've done.
Thanks, bro.
Guys, let me paint you a picture where inside his... Okay, first of all, Bright is the CEO of iCreate Africa.
Yep.
He's sitting across from me. He's wearing a red top with the iCreate logo on it. He looks like a character out of Star Trek. we're in his office, come studio, come space, come bat cave. And it's decked out in everything skills, man. It's like, it's really cool. And then there's a table that looks like an engine.
An engine block. Basically.
Basically an engine block.
Yeah, an engine block. You got to actually put it in the car and it works. Like, it's not even a bad one.
Right?
It's like, I had to get the one that actually works.
Why?
Just in case.
Just in case.
When I was doing this boat, I told the guy that was the carpenter, and I was like, yo, I need you to do, I don't want you to just do an art. I need to do something that can actually work. So in case God is trying to destroy the world and give me water, I can just jump on this shit and paddle myself out of the place.
Guys, he's referring to...
It's a real cave, man, I'm telling you.
He's referring to the table.
Yeah, the conference table.
In his conference room. And it's actually designed to be a boat.
It's a boat.
Like, literally.
Literally,
it's like drop, we can put it on the water and we can float and literally paddle the shit out of here. Just in case, man. You just gotta prepare for the future, bro.
You know what they say, when niggas start to build boats, you better ask questions, man.
No, but yeah, it's just being crazy, you know, just trying something different.
Man, how did this start? Tell me, because, I mean, you've come a long way. Even I don't know your story. I've known you for maybe 2 years now.
Yeah.
But even I don't know how we got here. I knew that we started talking when I met when I first had Henrich Akomolafe.
Yeah.
When he went on the Forbes list.
Yeah.
The same year as you. Yeah. So yeah, I'm with a Forbes alumni right now.
Yeah.
You know, look at him.
Yeah.
He wears that badge proudly. So how did it all start, man? Where we at?
So I think for me, I've just been this crazy guy that would not just align. I just hate alignment, especially aligning with things that are normal or regular. I just feel like there's just so much in the world to just put us in a particular direction and say this is the only thing that can work. Just doesn't make any sense. You wake up in the morning, you come out, like there's a whole space. Do you understand? And then they say, okay, within this space, go through this way. That's it. That's the only way, because this is where people have tried and it has worked. So people try the other way, it failed, so don't go that way. And I'm like, what about the other ways that nobody has tried yet, right? Why can't I just try something different?
Yeah.
And that's just been me. I've just been that rebel that would just want to do something totally different. And, you know, so from a very young age, I've always just, you know, tried to see how I could be in that space. And I've tried different things at different points in time. But I had a very strong drive and passion for people. And I just felt like, the reason why I wanted to be different was to set a different path that could actually work, because I wanted people to see that there's more to life than they have designed and they have painted for us to see, right? So for me, it was more, but I remember telling one of my friends that I'm not doing all of this because of just the impact. I'm doing this to let people know that there's a possibility that you can try something different and actually win. Like, my story should be, what he did saved people. No, it should be, what he did inspired me to do something.
Something different.
Something different. The fact that he was different. Kobe was exceptional. He was about that life of, I want to be the best at what I do. Right? I'm about the life of, I want to do something totally different than what everybody else is doing. Like, if I go on life, I get an idea and I go online and somebody else doing it, I'm not doing it. No matter how great it is.
Yeah.
For me, it's how can I do something that nobody has ever done and win in that thing. Fail, go through the process, you know, feel the pain, you know, all of that, and just win. So I started like that. So the first thing I did that was crazy was during, I think that was the thing that actually brought me out, 2013, during the Chibok Girls thing when it just happened. So I was like, I want to do something. I want to raise awareness. I wanted to do something that nobody has ever done to raise awareness. So I decided to organize a flash mob. There was not like a flash mob in Nigeria. I mean, what happened to a lot of places. So I said I was going to bring 6,000 kids together to do one dance routine, just to use that as a you know, as a symbol for peace. And it was crazy. I had like 3 months to organize it. And so I started working, did my whole planning. I have to go around 50 schools, get about 150 kids each, teach them the dance routine, blah, blah, blah. Got a team together of like 6 people and we started. It was crazy. But we started, we went around, we started going from place to places. And when I go there, I will, you know, talk to, we bring all the kids out together. I'll have like this whole assemble moment and I'll say, yo, This is your role in life. This is your role when it comes to Nigeria. We sing national anthem. We sing it word for word. I explain it word for word. It wasn't in my head when I wanted to do that, but I just discovered that I was just inspiring this kid and letting this kid understand that the future is in your hands. You just have to find a way to fix it now, and you have to be part of the people that will fix it. And we did all of that, and then the deal day came. We used the national stadium, Velodrome, and brought all these kids together from different places, from kids from the some of the worst schools in Lube and in AYA to kids from Elamin and from Regent, and we brought all of them together in one space, and we just started the routine, and these kids were dancing. So they were dancing and, you know, we were having fun, doing the same routine. And then at the end of the dance, it was this song, "We are power of Niger, walking." So we three years, we are champion. When the song ended, that wasn't part of the routine. This was not, remember, these kids had never met each other before. This was not part of the routine. These kids started throwing their caps up and started hugging each other. Like, I was confused. Literally, I was like, we didn't tell them to do that. But you see the way they didn't care where they were coming from, the rich or the poor, they were just hugging and just laughing and just, you could see the joy in their faces. And that moment just made me realize that I was made for different. I was brought here for something different. I was designed for something unique. Because I didn't see that coming, but it just made me understand that it's impossible for you to see the end of anything that you're doing. You see the end when you start. Mm-hmm. How do you get to see the end? When you actually start, right? So just seeing that end that wasn't in the picture, you know, when you're going to do something, you see every single stage. You know, you see everything you're going to achieve. I knew what the end product would be, which was having this great routine, you know, young people dancing and screaming and all of that, and then do a short documentary around it and put it online. That was the goal.
Yeah.
But I did not see that end, and that end became the real capture. That end became the real content that literally changed a lot of things. And when we're done, we got all the content that we put online. We got Malala, we retweeted it. We got even the first lady, Barack Obama's wife, Michelle Obama. A lot of people just retweeted. It became a thing. Like, we were trending dance for piece number one worldwide on Twitter the day we put the stuff out. And, you know, that's how I was called to come to see the president. You know, had that whole handshake thing, and that's how my journey started. Right. And it was just that. And then, you know, I've always prepared myself. I've always worked on myself. So I was ready for every opportunity that was coming my way at that point in time. So it was project, well, you can do this, or can you do that? I was ready. And, you know, that's how we started, you know, started from the bottom, now we're here. I mean, we're not here yet, but I mean.
But why skills, particularly? Of all the things you do in this world, why skills?
Skills has always been it. From the very beginning, because I'm not this guy based on the information and the content that I got from school. I'm this guy because of what the content and the information I got from interacting with people, daily people. My mom is a trader, and so when I was in primary school, I used to go to the market after school to go work with her, and I did that when I was in primary school till I was done with secondary school. It's like how many years? So I go to school in the morning by 8 a.m. I'm done by 2 p.m., right? I go to the market. I'm in the market from 2 to 9. Because I don't know, she's just like going back home late. 9, and we go back home together. And that happened. So I spent more time in the marketplace interacting with different kinds of people than I actually spent in school interacting with my peers. So I had an understanding of different, you know, perspective, how people saw things. You know, all of that was just content that I was not consciously taking in, but it was shaping who I was. Who I was going to be.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it was just literally, because I'm a guy that will pay attention. I'm looking at things. I don't know what I'm going to use this content for, but I'm just getting it in. I'm just taking it in. And then at some point, it just kind of now shaped me towards a direction of, okay, why is it that we have a lot of young people that are unemployed, right? Why is it that education or being a professional is identified by your degree or your certificate?
Yeah.
Why is it that being successful is defined by, you know, the school that you went to or your grades in school? Because to me, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, people are not designed to be the same. So why do you take them through the same process? And you expect them to come up with the same result when they are not designed to be the same. So you put somebody who literally is not even interested in a particular thing, and you judge their result based on that thing that they're not good at, which is naturally, they're not good at. If I tell the teacher, go and drive a plane. Go and fly a plane. You're a teacher, right? You might be. Fly a bloody plane. He can't fly a plane because you're not good at flying a plane, so you're going to get an F9. Does that mean you're a failure? Hell no.
Yeah.
You're just good at being a fucking teacher.
Yeah.
So you can't. So you find that people are judged. People are labeled.
And limited.
Are labeled to be sin and to be a particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this label start becoming their narrative.
Yeah.
And that's not real. That's not true. So for me, I just felt like, how can I break that circle? How can I make people understand that, you know, what you choose to be is what it is. It's not what the society has designed that this is what you should be. There are billions of ideas, there are billions of professions, there are billions of solutions, and there are billions of problems. You don't have to be under a label to be identified as someone that's successful. And how can I create, how can I create that path and that narrative?
So what is I create?
I create is just here to change that societal perception.
Okay.
That you have to be educated, quote, you know, the formal education for you to be called successful. It's also here to make people understand that we're all designed to solve a particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of problem right now. And if you're not doing something about the problem, that problem is going to become a chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So as an individual, you have a role to play. And that role is empowering yourself with a tool.
Mm-hmm.
The tool becomes your voice.
Yeah.
And that tool is basically the power that you have to solve a problem.
Yeah.
So, for example, the guy that made all of this, that was it, that's his tool. Your podcast is your tool. That's your voice, right? Your the mechanic that fixes my car, that's his tool. That's his voice. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, is how can we get more young people to see that there's an opportunity in this trade? And let them find a way to learn a skill and become a tool that will solve problems in Nigeria, problems in Africa, and probably across the world. So for us, it's just like we're just getting more young people to see that beyond education, beyond degrees, there's a whole life outside. And do not put yourself in a box and say, oh, because I'm educated or because I went to school, then I can't bring myself low to become a tailor. I can't bring myself low to become a plumber. Who says that's low? Do you understand? Like, who says that is low? You can, with that information, you can literally design and change that industry.
Yeah.
So for me, it's be something. Be anything. Don't be what they say or what they say we're supposed to be. Let's be who we want to be.
And I think most importantly, be the best you can be at it. Because, man, there's levels to everything, as you know.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about tailoring, for example, we know that there is tailors who can sew, and there's tailors who sabi the actual like anatomy of a person's body and know how to, you know what I'm saying? Like there's levels you can take your skill beyond, and that's what they call mastery.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get to the highest possible level of your skill.
Straight up.
So I feel like I created school because it encourages people to like, or it encourages artisans and skilled professionals to go beyond their plateau.
Take you to the next level. I think what we're going to do is to create a differentiation, and that differentiation for me is a key component of my mentality. When LeBron James holds the ball, he's LeBron James. He has a lot of other people. Do you understand? There are a lot of people in the league, but when he holds the ball, he just holds it different.
Yeah.
When Zion Williams holds the ball, he holds it different. When Steph Curry holds the ball, it's not because they train harder than everybody else. It's just in them. It's just their. Apart from them having the skill, they are talented. That's their destiny.
Mm.
Just that what I'm saying. So for us, what we're doing first is differentiate, identify the people, because we're dealing with the problem systematically, and that's the reason why when iGrade came into the picture of the combinational skill trade, we became the number one in everything.
Yeah.
Because we're not addressing the problem from the general perspective. Oh, let's train a bunch of people and let them learn skills. Oh, you people, you're graduates. Go and learn a skill and be valuable. And then you see everybody else, you know, creating a training center and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or some governor while you're saying, oh, my empowerment is to go to this community and teach them how to grind, and then buy grinding machines for all of them. That is demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually affecting the brand of this trade. When people just feel like, oh, I want to give up, let me send people to go and train, to go and learn carpentry. For me, it's like you're the reason why young people don't want to go into this trade in the first place, because it's demeaning. You're making it more demeaning. What we're doing, first of all, is create a structure that make the people who already are in this trade feel important and successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. If the reason why you want to be a banker is because you've seen successful bankers. The reason why you want to be a politician right now is because everybody in politics are successful.
Yeah.
Everybody want to be in that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if there's no positive example, why would I want to go in there? So over the years, skills trade, which is one of Africa's most important and something that actually shaped us as Africans. Like, if they say the Chinese are master crafters or the Russians are smart and intelligent when it comes to whatever, Africans are craftsmen. That's what we were known for, from our art piece to the pyramid that we designed that we didn't have education, to the houses that we built, to the wars that we fought. We were naturals.
Mm.
And then they came and took that and told us that is the meaning. That for you to be successful, you have to have you have to be wearing suit and tie, you have to have a white collar job. That's what success was. That was the design. That was the template that they gave us, that this is successful.
Mm.
And so you discover that a lot of parents were now pushing their kids towards that path. And then we started neglecting the thing that actually made us who we are.
Mm.
And till today, we still import toothpicks. We import bloody toothpicks. You get what I'm saying? So what we're doing is, first of all, celebrate the people that are there. Not just the people, but the right people. The people who are giving their best. The people who see this as their life and not just a means of survival. Who see this that I would rather do this than anything else.
Mm.
I will identify them and make sure that they're celebrated and they are paid what they are worth. Because once you elevate, people start seeing your worth.
Mm.
Elevation is what they need to see.
Yeah.
So when, Brajaja is here, oh, when Brajaja won going to Forbes, and Brajaja won Sound City, my price went up.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because I'm acknowledged by international brands.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm able to create a brand that can acknowledge skilled professionals and make their price go up, because, oh, if I create, acknowledge you, then you're the shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we're doing. So we move that first, and then elevated a lot of these young people for people to start seeing the value. And then you discover that a lot of people, when we're not trying to get, I mean, we get 2,000 applications in a week when we put out our competition. People want to get on that shit. They want to get on that top.
Mm.
And that is creating a culture beyond just pushing people to go and learn skills. We're creating a community and a culture around it.
Just talk about the competition. That's also something that's very fascinating.
Yeah, so competition. The competition idea was to identify. Like I said, we wanted to differentiate, I wanted to uplift, and then use the mainstream, use media to, just the way a Wizkid or a Davido is seen. We wanted to get our skill profession to get to that point. So when I was talking about it earlier, when I came back from Dubai and I was talking about what we're trying to do with the competition, I used to say, I want to have a skill artisan do like a nice video, and it's on Sound City and it's on Trace TV. I want to have them on billboards, you know, I want to have them get a brand ambassador deal. Because they're great at what they do, and I don't see any difference between a carpenter and Wizkid. Wizkid sings.
Yeah, yeah.
This carpenter literally does work that probably even takes more mind and more brain and more power than Wizkid.
Yeah.
But Wizkid has a management team that does the flyer, does the video production, you know, put it out there, get more people to see. That's exactly what I'm going to do for this other guy.
Oh,
I'm going to do every single thing that I managed to do for Wizkid to get this guy to this point.
Yeah.
And so that was what this culture came into play, where we organize an event and we bring all these young people together and we give them a specific test project that's world scale standard within a time frame for them to execute it. We're in the middle of, you know, lights and cameras and
audiences,
you know,
yeah,
and you know, all of those things that you will see in a concert. But you come into the skills competition, when we did in Lagos, there was a canopy hanging from up like four, just floating in the air. People were like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, this is exactly what you guys have not been doing. That's the reason why this industry is fucked.
Yeah.
So, you know, so once they go through that process and then they come out and then we now, you know, put them on billboard. We had four of our champions in construction signed an endorsement deal with Bosch. And the deal I told them was, I'm going to be the one to shoot the advert video. So if you go to our YouTube page, you see an advert called the Sight and Sound of Skills, where we just literally use different Bosch tools, but we featured them in the video and they were paid for that. You get what I'm saying? So it's doing something different, creating value and, you know, using media to project the power, the importance of skills and driving young people to have a passion for this.
You know, I feel like this is exactly the same thing I'm trying to do for podcasts, for podcasters. I feel like we're at that stage where, you know, right now it's a hobby for most, you know, but I do feel like, you know, the same way Joe Rogan just hit $1 billion in terms of a deal with Spotify for being a podcaster, you know, there are opportunities even here where we can, if we take this medium seriously, the same way you're advocating for skills, we're taking seriously. You know, you can elevate certain voices to become voice talents, to the ideas and their personalities become, you know, larger than life, and why can't a podcaster have the same pool as Wizkid? They're basically using their voice and their time and their talent to, you know, to influence people, to inspire people, and that is exactly what, and shit, I can relate, man, because you're in this, and I feel like Nigeria is so weird. It's like you've picked, like, your dream or your goal is on, like, instead of the highest difficulty level, because we're in Nigeria, it's like legendary. Like, your climb is an uphill battle, man. Our climb is an uphill battle because
it is.
People don't like to hear words.
Crazy. I mean, even like the level of success we've achieved so far, people are like, how do you even do this? The thing is, I think I used to tell people, I'm just used to the struggles, right? Like, I don't know how to be calm. When I mean calm, I don't just like comfort. I hate comfort. I don't know how to explain it, but I like my blood to always be pumping. So because I know who I am, and I know that I don't enjoy that process, that my heart always has to be up the entire time, but my system is built to just accommodate it. Like, it doesn't enjoy, but it just likes being in that space.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Where I just challenge myself. So what I did was, what I do every single time is that I set a goal that is bigger than myself. Always like this, way fucking higher than myself. Like, I look at it and I'm like, okay, good. I know by myself that on a normal day, you can achieve this. That's when I know that the goal is high enough. And I said, this is exactly what we're going to achieve. And I grow. I discover myself growing. Like, I start seeing changes. I start working towards things. And I start seeing natural change. Like, I just start seeing me becoming a whole person.
Rising to the occasion.
Yeah. Every single time. Like, when we did the first click competition, when I draw out the budget, and I even sent it to, like, the guys, the World Skills guys that inspired me, they're like, are you crazy? You want to do 14, actually send them 21 skill sets. Now, this competition, right, if I want to meet the world skill standard, I have to provide they just have to show up. Do you understand? Like, I have to provide the tools, the equipment, the materials, the venue, all of that has to be in place for each skill set. And it has to be brand new, because you don't want somebody's machine to not be working. And I'll say, oh, that's the reason why I didn't win, because the machine was not working. It has to be brand new. So when I looked at the budget, I was like, now I understand why the government is not interested in investing in technical vocational skill training. It's more expensive than the formal educational system. Technical skill is way more expensive. You're talking about tools that worth 100 millions of naira for one person. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's expensive. Yeah. So I was like, so how am I going to do this? They said, reduce it to 5. I'm like, 5? No, I can't do 5. That's basically going to just be a drop in the ocean. Nobody will notice it. Like, I need people to know this, that this is happening.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to do 14. They're like, you're going to fail. Like, you can't do 14. It's too much for you to handle, especially for that you're not getting sponsors. I'm going to find them. I'm going to pitch to them. I'm going to make them understand that they have to do this. And then we went on, and then, you know, went on and on and on and on. And it was crazy. Even till the last day, it was looking like it wasn't going to happen. there's something happened and everything came together. But immediately I saw the event wrapped up, I looked at myself and I said, there's nothing meaningful that I cannot do. That was conviction that became a reality out of process.
Mm.
See, when people say believe in yourself, it's bullshit.
Mm.
Do you understand why I say it? It's total bullshit, because believing in yourself is like when somebody says, believe me. I have to have experienced you for me to believe. So if I say believe in myself, okay, let me say I wake up in the morning, I don't know how to drive a plane, but I tell myself, let me believe in myself to go and drive a plane, I would die.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the content to believe in.
Yeah.
So believing in yourself begins with you doing something over and over again to a point, how are you? To a point where yourself, you now believe, like you don't need to believe in yourself, you believe in yourself when you want to go and drive your car, when you're driving out now, because you have that.
The skills, yeah.
You have something, you can't just believe in nothing.
Something you haven't done. Something you haven't seen, yeah.
You have to put yourself in the position. I wouldn't say believe in yourself, I'll say experience. Experience something and believe in that thing that you have experienced.
Mm.
So what I did was, I believed I could do it, and I went through the journey too. I didn't believe in myself that I could do it.
Yeah,
I believed that that could be a reality if I put the work. So I put the work, and then at that point in time, when I got to the end, I now believed in myself to do it again.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan, because I'm like, if I can do this now, I've seen it, then I believe in myself. So I started believing in myself to do it again when I was able to do it the first time.
Yeah.
Right? So believing in yourself is a process of you achieving first, then believing that you can do it again.
Mm.
Not you want to sit down and tell it, believe in yourself, believe in what? What is there? What is inside that you want to believe in?
Yeah.
So I did that, and then the next year, I told my team, we're going to do it 3 times. They said, we'll use the whole fucking year to plan more. They were going to do it 4. Actually, we said we're going to do 4 in 1 year.
Mm.
And they're like, this is insane. Look at how much this will cost. Look at how much time. Look at how much madness. I said, we're going to do it. Let's put the plan in. We sat down, threw the plan, everything. We did the first one in Kaduna, then Enugu, then Lagos, then Abuja. Even me, I told myself that, are you mad? But I'm like, I did it once. I can do it 4 times.
Yeah.
Crazy. Went into it, did the first one in Kaduna. Kaduna was fire. I literally cried at some point. And I was like, fuck, Brian. It was just too good. I started crying. Even in the mic, you could hear my voice. I was saying, okay, let's go. My chest was dropping. I was like, man, this is fucking amazing. Like, any kid that walks into this place right now would want to be one of these guys.
Mm.
And that's exactly what this is about. Because what they see is always see them under the car as a mechanic, or always see them inside one small room as a tailor, or always see them a whole bunch of dust on their face when they're cutting. That's what they see.
Mm.
But walking into this place and seeing this light and this thing, and they did the whole MBA setting because we had a round hall, so we dropped a screen, a 4-corner screen from the top down, like, you know, on the stick, and then we had a 4-corner thing in the middle, and they were all coming from different, and they were just creating that whole thing. I mean, there's no way a child would not want to be one of these guys. There's no way. The way everybody was clapping for them and all of that. It just brought tears to my eyes. Went to Enugu, did the same thing. Then it was time for Lagos. I remember one of my... Lagos was crazy because we're going to use Landmark.
Mm.
Landmark is where they do all the biggest venue in Lagos. Mm. And they're like, dude, use a smaller venue. Landmark's going to cost me $2 million to just for the venue for just 2 days.
Mm.
And then so I sat down on the floor. And I said to myself, I didn't know my friend was there. I'm like, why do I always take things that are bigger than me? I
started forcing laughing behind me. Like, did you just say that to yourself? I'm like, it's crazy. This is insane. There's so much left to be done.
Mm. You know, and we kept on going. Did the design, drop this, drop that. It was insane. Like, what I was doing with the setup, I was like, man, wow. And we did that, brought everybody, flew people in from different, because it was the finals.
Mm.
So all the moves we did were regional. So we brought the winners, the finals, people from different regions to come for the finals in Lagos. So we had to transport them, put them in a hotel for 4 days, right? Feed them, make sure that they were okay. And then the competition itself, the tools, brand new tools, equipment, all of that in one space. So we're done. So we did all of that and we were done and brought in a bunch of people. It was amazing. It was the most beautiful thing ever. And that happened. And the next thing I'm telling myself, what is next? And I sat down. I said, we're going to make it a league. It's going to be a skills league now. I don't even come to that anymore.
What?
I'm like, we're going to get a fucking league. Now, every state we're going to have one competition. 36 fucking states. We'll have one competition each. We'll get to the playoffs. Regional level, the best in the states will compete. We get to the playoffs. Like, it's going to be like the whole fucking NBA. I had a whole logo like the fucking NBA. Like, we're going to do a league. But this year, we're supposed to do, like, what we're going to do this year was to do drafting. Draft players, draft skillers into the teams and get them ready for the first league, the first skills league in the world. No jokes. Like when I designed the proposal I sent it to WorldSkills France, they were like, how did we, WorldSkills have been existing for the past 67 years, how did we not think about this?
Shit.
I'm like, I don't know, I think I'm just too much into the NBA and I'm like, but like, it's insane.
Mm.
Like the way we've designed it, I don't think people that probably even compete when it's when we kick the entire process off. There's no way they can even compete. Like nobody can compete with that. It's such an amazing content that there's no way that in the next 5 years if we go that on the road, skills will not be more important than anything else in Nigeria. It's impossible. It's just impossible, right? So said we're gonna do a league and then we're going to launch this place in 1 year, and then we're gonna build a skills park. That's the plan. They're like, bam. I'm like, you see what we started? We did the first one. I believed in myself. You guys believed in yourself. We did 4 competitions. Nobody has done it ever in the whole of Africa. We beat our record every single time. The first one we did was the biggest in Africa. We came and we beat that record. I beat the record 4 times.
Mm.
So anybody that wants to even try now has to beat our previous record. And now we're taking it to a whole new level where we're not modeling the world skills anymore. We're modeling something that is ours. We design logo for every state. We have a name for every state team. That we have the LA Lakers. We have that. We have a logo for them. As in, we have uniforms designed. We have everything. Well, that kicks off. There's no way anything. Probably entertainment industry will probably be shaking when it comes to that. Like, we own the entire industry when it comes to skills. And the goal is to make young people see that beyond just working under a car or, you know, having that whole dirty mentality of technical skills, there's beauty, there's pride, there's joy, there's acceptance, and people can see the value of how you're using what you have to solve real fucking life problems. That's the shit. So we're just getting started, nigga.
Time for women in all of this.
Women.
The woman, yes.
Bros. I think for me, somebody had a conversation with somebody recently, and I'm like, I don't think it's going to be fair to any woman to be with me or for me to be with any woman like fully like dedicated at this time, because I just feel like I'm too into what I'm doing that I hate not being my best in anything. If I want to date 100%, if I want to be into someone 100%, right?
Mm.
I want to pour the same energy I put in this and create all of these amazing things on that.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm failing, because I had a wonderful woman I was dating and I failed because I was too into my work. I was too into what I was doing. And I hate failing, not because I can't be great just because I'm not available to be great. Do you get what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, I really want to just wrap up my life, wrap up this, solve this problem, and have a structure in place that can live without me, and then be that, not just be a boyfriend, but be a husband, be a father, and that's a whole new chapter of my life. Like, I don't really believe in, oh, you can mix it all up. I mean, people are doing that and it's working for them, but I just feel like the way I'm designed, I'm not a floodlight. I mean, what do they call it? What do they call that?
Laser.
I mean, laser.
Mm, mm, mm.
I want to hit and burn that shit up. I don't want to be all over the place. So if I'm going to focus on something and do it, I want to be the best at it. And for me, I told somebody, I have 2 more years. Coronavirus kind of just fucked shit up a little bit for me. It's like slow my time, so probably 3. I'm 30 now, 33, I'm done. I'm actually done, 33. I'm done. So I have to work extra time now. So people are working 8 hours, I'm working 16 hours. Probably put 17 on 18 or 18 hours on days. Because I want to double the year for me, right? So I can wrap this up as soon as possible. Because I want to be the guy that would take my kids to school, bring them back. I want to be a house band. I want to be at home and take care of my kids. I want to be there for my family. I want to put the whole energy and the whole skills that I have into building that, right? So it's just been, that part of my life has just not been stable. It's just been, you know, it's been shaky. And, you know, a lot of people just like, oh, you're doing this. And I see, it's straight up. I can't be there. I want to be there, but I can't. Because I have this dream and I have this vision and I have this mission and this passion and this assignment. Because for me, it's an assignment. I feel like if I don't do it, nobody else can do it and nobody else will do it. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I have to finish this. And when I finish it, that's me giving my best to the world. The Bible says of the world awaits for the manifestations of the sons of God. I am one of that son of God. Like, the world awaits for my manifestation. And I want to manifest.
The world awaits the manifestation of God.
Yes. So, I want to manifest. And when I get those things done, and I see the reality, and I see how it has changed, the way Martin Luther King changed everything, the way, you know, Mandela, Boba, all these guys, they came in, they saw something, and they gave their 100%. People suffered. Their family suffered. Their wives, they were not there for their wives. A lot of things happened in their family directly, but they put themselves out there to make sure that the world is better than they left, than they saw it. And that's, I think that's my passion. That's the direction that I'm in.
There's a saying, you know. Some men are made to be happy, others are meant to be great.
So men are just made to make others happy. I'm just here to, like, because for me it's like, I don't just know how to just turn my face away from something that I know if I dedicate my time, I can solve it. It's understanding who you are as a human being. That's one thing a lot of people do not know. Who you are as a human being and your capabilities. You're not just here to drink water and then pee it out and take food and then shit it out. Like, you're not a cycle. You're not a pipe.
Yeah.
You are a creator. You are powerful, right? Like, you are, I don't even know how to, kryptonite, I don't even know what the word to
use. Made in the image of God.
But you are just power. Simple. You're just power, right? But that power inside of you needs to be activated. It has to be switched on.
Yeah.
And sometimes we let our environment, we let our background, we let our culture, we let everything around us make us feel like this is all we are. This is all we can be. We can be more than this. Right? I look at everything. The moment I started seeing every single great person as just the person, that's when I was not there anymore. Like, yeah. I'm not here. I'm gone. When will you look at where you can see Obama face to face and be like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, I'll be like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's the moment. I sat next to Dangote and I didn't feel shit. I didn't feel shit. Like, great guy. Awesome.
Yes, just sat up and looked at the eye, see the shit.
Like, literally, like,
yeah.
Great. Awesome, amazing. Because I have tapped in to that.
Because you could be like him if you wanted to.
Not if I could. I feel like I'm better. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, you achieved a lot. Yeah, but I can be better. Like, I know I can be better. But I've tapped into that, first of all, what I'm capable of. Then now aligning
my daily routine to fit into that capability. Because a lot of people don't understand. Oh yeah, I can be this, but what are you doing every day to be that, to become? What are you doing every day to activate those, that drive to take yourself a little bit forward every single day that you did the day before? And the first thing I understood was my mind has, I have to equip myself with content. The kind of content that activates the power inside of me. So this is 2012. I identified all the great people, all the amazing people who have done amazing things, and I would align their documentaries or their interviews. There's no interview of Steve Jobs I have not watched. I'm a big fan of Steve Jobs, amazing guy. And I watch. And I watch to a point where there's no day I sleep off without watching something. Like I sleep, like I leave something on knowing I'm gonna sleep off. But I'm feeding my subconscious with things. This is me. I programmed myself with so much that there's no, I didn't prepare for this interview. I've spoken in different conferences, even in Berlin, America. I've never prepared for any of these interviews. I just go up. I know that exactly what I need to say is going to come out when I get up on stage. Yeah. Exactly what I need to say will come out. If I prep, I flop. So I don't prep.
Yeah.
I just go there and I'm like, hello guys. And boom, that's coming out because it's already in there. So for me, it's understanding that God that made the world is not lazy. So every single morning I wake up, what motivates me is I watch baby videos.
What?
Baby videos. Kids that are just jumping around or like, and I look at, and I zoom 5 years and 10 years and 15 years, and I see the world they're going to live is going to be fucked up. And I stand up and I'm like, I can't let that happen. I might not be able to change it, but I want to do something about it. Every single time I carry a baby, I'm crying.
Yeah?
Yeah. Inside, within.
Yeah.
Literally, because I'm like, how on earth can I change that reality for that baby? How can I make sure that 5, 10, 15 years, this child will not look back and say, what did you guys do? That's the way we say to our parents right now. What did you guys do? What difference did you guys make?
I swear.
We say it every day. Like, how did you guys let this happen? Like, when I sit down with older people, I'm like, how do you guys, you don't have any right to tell me anything. None of you have any right to advise me. You can advise the kids, not me. Like, I know too much for you to advise me. I know too much to know that you guys could have done something about the situation. You didn't do it. So don't advise me. You can't advise me. I'm sorry. Like, it's not, I don't disrespect anyone, but you just can't advise me. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want to look at a child the next 20 years and child say, you can't advise me. Because what did you do? What did you do about the situation? What is different? Right? So for me, it's just playing that role. That's what motivates me. But if what motivates you is your satisfaction, it's, oh, I want to drive this car, and I want to drive that car, and I want to live in this house, then the possibility of you reaching that power is going to be limited, and that's fact. That's 100% fact. The possibility of you reaching that, like that genius is limited because God put us in this world to change it, not to massage it or not get out of it.
Yeah.
It's already everything. Once you have it, you come with the mentality of everything that exists is mine. I already have it. I don't need to take it. I just need to manage it and fix it and make sure that it's okay. That's the mentality. I'm a shepherd. I'm fixing shit. I already have everything I want. How do I make sure that it's okay, that it's in place, that it's not destroyed? That's my goal. That's my job. And that's how I see things. And that's what drives me. That's the mentality in which I work with. And that's why a lot of people be like, oh, this guy. I really don't give a fuck what anybody says. Oh, you're too aggressive. Or you're always trying to bash somebody and bash the government. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, what's in life, man? I mean, think about it.
Sure.
We can acquire all of these things. We can have $20 billion in our account. Tomorrow, we become the headline. I woke up this morning, literally, the first thing I saw, this guy is dead.
Chadwick Boseman.
Like that's the first thing I saw when I went on Instagram
Yo,
today.
Same here.
Great guy. Awesome guy. Reaching the highest peak of his career. Gone,
man.
But did he leave something?
Oh, yeah.
That's what the life, that's what, that is the only thing that matters.
That's the only thing that matters, really. Like, funny you say that, like, when you look at Kobe and Chadwick, it's like 2020 took the Black Panther and
Black Panther.
The same year. And both of them left an impact that cannot be contested,
bro,
denied.
If I die today, right now, I'm going to tell myself that if I die today, I'm going to be missed. I'm not even done close to telling people what I want to do. But if I die today, it's not just my family members that are going to cry.
Yeah.
Check this out. It's not just my family members or close friends. I'm going to be missed.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It means I have made an impact beyond wealth.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. If I die, if I close my eyes and I don't wake up today, I pray that where I am, I can see what's going on. I'm going
to be I want you to see
that. I'm sure they can see. I'm sure that will be a privilege for them to see. But imagine when you die, you go up there and you're like, and nobody's even saying, like, shit, nobody is even. Like, that's like red light shows, whatever they are talking about you. Like, no red light, nigga, shit.
No, but they're talking about you, but they're talking shit.
They're talking shit.
That's the worst.
Let's say green light shows, but they're talking shit. And then green light shows, but they're talking right business. And like, red light everywhere. I mean, do you get what I'm saying? It's like, that is exactly what the point is.
Mm.
It's about the life that you change. It's about investing in people. It's about getting people to see that they can be me. When I'm working in these competitions and I'm doing a lot of these things, I remember in Lagos, they didn't let me enter my event. Yeah. Because they're like, I need to sign in first. And then someone was like, he's the CEO of the company. Oh, I'm so sorry. But you won't be able to differentiate me and the guys.
Yeah.
You can't. It's impossible for you to look at me at my event and say, oh, this guy is CEO. Except you know who Bright is.
Yeah.
But you can't differentiate me from the people, because for me, it's about getting people to know that if I can do this, then you also can, because there's no difference between me and you. Boom. That's it. How are you now? How are you doing?
Yeah.
That's it. Bro. It's like, you have what it takes.
Bro, we hit the hour mark.
Get the shit done.
Wow.
We actually spoke for an hour.
Yes, now.
Damn.
Yes, now. You came out here in the spirit, bro.
It feels like he was just...
You came out here spitting, man. No, bars.
But real talk. But what you're doing is really, really good. It's really, and I feel like it's going to... I mean, new things take time. Especially in Nigeria, they're always late to catch up. They always need to catch up. I mean, podcast is the shit in America. I've done like 3 already. With some guys from over there, like, they will do Zoom and all of that.
Mm.
Like, it's the shit. Like, people are actually more on podcast than even doing YouTube right now. No, take your time. It's going to take time, definitely. Especially Africans are very slow to get it on things. And we're now living in...
But once they do.
Once they do. And the thing is, you just being the lead. Do you get what I'm saying? We're always trying to follow when everybody else is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need to understand, and that's where your creativity comes into play, that we're living in the content economy.
Yeah.
Where content is everything.
Yeah.
So that means a lot of people are not going into that to create content. So there's now too much content to consume.
Yeah.
So that's where you're going to start putting ideas and strategies in place.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've learned is make it personal. Like what you just said about helping people, like make it personal. Like a lot of people jump into business and they start thinking big. I like this guy, I'm going to do this way. So when someone comes around, I'm like, ah, that's this one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think big.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, work like you don't want to scale.
Yeah.
So when you build a community around you, like every single person matters. So when I'm building our platform and I'm explaining it to investors as well, they're like, how are you going to scale this? I'm like, it will scale itself when it's time.
Mm.
Right now, every single person matters. Every single person. Like, I reach out to every single person.
Yeah.
Every single person on the platform, I know them. Just imagine, like, Mark Zuckerberg knowing everybody on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, at the beginning,
yeah,
that was how it was.
Yeah.
He knew everybody on the platform. He could reach out to them, like, oh, yeah, once I saw your page.
Yeah.
That's how you start building.
Mm.
So when you build that, what you're doing with that is you're creating a strong foundation. Because at any point in time, you have something to fall back on. You have that small community to fall back on. That small community that the ones that now that becomes is the viral effect.
Yeah.
That goes. But yeah. Their loyalty falls on you taking them personal. So we have a lot of, oh, I'm all over the place, but no, you don't really have loyalty. You just have people that know there's Bright here. Okay, there's Bright. But like, who'd be like, ha, I must see that guy Bright. I sit down and talk about you for 5 minutes with somebody.
Blow your trumpet.
You get what I'm saying? That's loyalty. That's beyond just like, oh, I know this guy Bright.
Yeah.
And then you move on. You want to jump into the next conversation. But when Bright is mentioned, because you've experienced this person one-on-one, he spreads the word so much so that it sticks to that person's head. And the next person is like, bro, I heard some guy told me about this Bright. Oh, that Bright. Some guy told me about this Bright guy. If you're sitting there in a place, right, and three people acknowledge one person, it sticks to your head. It's in your head.
Yeah.
They've just gotten one person into the system. And that's how it goes. So a lot of businesses, a lot of people that start up, they start up with the big mentality that, okay, I want to be big. So you start acting big because you're thinking too big. So you start acting big. So the guy that probably sent you a message, you're like, I'm big, I'm a big deal now. I'm on
Forbes.
I cannot be replying message. Let me go and write a proposal and be chasing. No.
Yeah.
My entire team, I told them, at some point I told them, let's put somebody in charge. I said, call everybody on the platform. They are like almost 400. I'm like, call every single person, one of them. Have a conversation. Ask them what's up. Like, how have you been experiencing the platform? What do you think we should change? What do you think we should do? Conversation. I'll send you credit. I'll put them also. Send me a message directly anytime, any day. By 2 a.m. I'll respond to your message. You guys know that I'm with you guys. We're here to move this. It's not my company, it's our company. But that's how you scale. So when it happens, it just blows. So just take your time. If you have to just wake up in the morning and just slide on somebody's DM and say, hey, what's up? Have you heard of this podcast? You know, like, what do you think about it? Like, you'd be like, but I'm this guy now. I can't be doing that. But I'm just here to tell you about my podcast. This is what I'm doing. And before you know, you start having a conversation. And before you, that's it. Like, every single day, make sure one more person knows about you in the most deepest way possible. That's it. For me, every single day, somebody new must know about I create. That's my goal. If I don't say anything, I'll just go on live. I'll be like, hey, what's up, guy? What's happening? Or I'll send somebody DM. I'll be like, you got about I create? I'll go on this blog, go on this chat blogs, and I'll just comment. I'll be like, you guys, they heard about this iCreate thing, but somebody, I know out of the people there, one person will click. Just, my goal is not to be, just one person every single day should know about iCreate. One new person should know about iCreate. But that, it's small, but that's what works.
Yeah.
Right, so, just operate in that mindset. And before you know, you start building culture, start building community.
Yeah.
Have a home market.
That's it, man. I mean, even like season four, this podcast has been recorded for season four, those of you who are listening. And so one of the things we're doing is, you know, trying to like get all the loyal listeners in one place on Telegram, you know, so that, you know, because the thing with podcasts is that you listen to it, but there's no like comment section or whatever to like have a discussion. And with this podcast, people love to have discussions, either in my DM or on the Instagram page of the podcast. So I think one way to really like get the community booming and like knowing each other is to have a place where maybe after each episode you can come in there and like something that stuck out to you and then talk about it, get into it, and then just like build from there. And then if you have amazing interactions in there, more people will be encouraged to come in. They'll be like, we're having this amazing thing here. Where do you guys talk about these things? Oh, this Telegram group like this. And then you go listen or whatever it is. So that's one of my new
makes sense.
Things going on.
So that's operating like you don't want to scale. Because you know, at the end of the day, there's an amount of people that will be on that platform.
Yeah.
But it's like you want to create communities.
Yeah.
And that's what conversations like this do. It just gets people thinking.
Mr. Bright, this was good. Long time coming, too long, but we did it. It was amazing. Good.
I had fun.
Please tell the people where to follow you, how to find
you. Simple. Yeah, and you can follow me on Instagram, official Bright Jaja. I think that I'm more active on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter. If you really, really like to get.
Oh, before we start.
Yeah.
I want to pick your brain on something else before we go.
Yeah.
I'll pass one out, but you guys will listen. There's a tweet you tweeted that you showed on Instagram post, and I even shared it and I commented. I remember.
Yeah, I remember. What was it?
The one about followers are getting followers, world leaders.
Yeah.
Something like that. Please, if you can find on your phone or something, let's read that with people and let's
So follow me on Twitter, Ajajazi. That's one of my those are my deep moments when I'm just reflecting. I just get some of these ideas and I just tweet it. Imagine if social media companies only add the follow button for those who have the capacity to lead. You can't be followed except you have what it takes to lead. The reality is we have followers following followers and leaders without followers.
Bro, that was well put. That was like, imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine you could only attract followers if you have the capacity to lead.
But that is why somebody said this word no balance.
This word no balance. Because if the world was like that.
Yeah. I feel like in the end, people will follow people that they believe in, right?
Mm.
But because the way it's so simple now for everyone to just follow, you're following superficial stuff, fluff. You're easily like someone can put a nice piece of viral content and you follow them.
The idea behind that tweet was I was just thinking of, you know, just really amazing people who are online, who really, because if you check my Instagram, if you're not putting anything positive, I'm not following you. I don't care if you're following me. You cannot follow me if you don't want to follow me. But I don't want my Instagram. I do Instagram a lot. Like that's the only thing that I do. The reason I do to reward myself when I've worked hard.
Yeah.
So when I'm there, I don't want to see trashy content that doesn't align with my subconscious or my conscious mind. So when I'm looking at the content, if your picture quality are not good, I'm not following you. That's how crazy it is. Like for me,
it's 2020, man.
Like every single thing has to just be clean. Yeah. I'm a digital guy. So everything I see digitally has to be scripts. Your pictures are low quality. I can't follow you.
Yeah.
If you post pictures and your background is fucked up, I can't follow you. I'm just sorry.
Yeah.
You know, so I follow people who have something that every single time when I just go through, I'm like, ooh, I'm getting something. It's inspiring a thought. Like, I help me, you know, connect something. I follow NBA. I follow almost all the NBA players.
Yeah.
Because they just, their life, their story, their journey just kind of just get to me.
Mm.
And just seeing those people that they don't even have the followers, that the people who literally do not have any positive impact in their lives. And those are the people that they praise and they worship.
Yes.
I don't understand how you want to grow. You want to grow, but you don't know how to climb trees.
Bro, that meant for me. Come on. You see my face?
The first thing is, if you want to grow, you have to learn how to climb trees.
Okay.
Means trees grow. Right? And they get to a particular point.
Yeah.
So if you want to grow, you have to follow the people who understand what growth is.
Oh, right.
You have to follow, you have to climb to that place where you identify people who have grown. Right? So if you can't climb trees and you're always looking at flowers on the floor, how are you going to grow? It's a lot of people just literally they've set their standards so low that they just catch things around.
Mm.
Like the small tweet that says about something or somebody says about London, and that's where they vibe.
Yeah.
Because they can never understand what it feels like to grow.
Yeah.
So when they see grow, they're like, we don't understand this one. They're doing too much. Oh, they are this. They cast them, they castigate them.
Yeah. They because, cut them down to size.
They cut them down to their level with their mindset, but the person is still there.
Yeah.
So you can talk about the person low, so you can get to your level in your head. But you're the one that's losing because that growth is still there.
Yeah.
But and in inside them, the innermost parts of them, aspire to grow.
Mm.
They go to church, they pray every Sunday, they speak in tongues, like they do things, they say things, like they want to be more.
Yeah.
But you discover that they don't do the things to help them be more. They don't follow the things to help them be more.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if a social media platform will come, and I think it should come,
It
might not get everybody because a lot of people design business ideas for the masses. Yeah. I don't need 7 billion people. I just need 1% of the 7 billion, right? If a social media platform comes where you only You only get to be have the icon of follow if you have what it takes, if you have the content that can help people. That would change things.
So that would be like the equivalent of the blue tick.
Yes. Yes. So instead of, oh, because you are popular, because a lot of people know you, you are verified.
Yeah.
Let it be that the people who only have substance get to have people to look up to that substance.
Mm.
So till you get substance, you inspire people to want to become, you know, to want to have substance, want to have something to offer.
Give them real value that makes them better.
Yeah. So that's the problem. If we're able to change that mindset, or even we don't even need to change, we don't even need to change social media for that to change. Like, have that mindset that if you're not adding value to me, I should not be following you. Don't follow people that don't have value to you. They're not adding value. Why should I be following? What am I following exactly? Why am I following? Following the I'm behind you. What am I?
Where are you taking me?
The fuck you taking me to, nigga? Where are you taking me to? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's where the problem is. So when we need to start, you know, intentionally, you know, talking to this next generation, making them understand that, see, social media validation is not life. Just be somebody that people can look up to.
Mm.
Don't try to imitate an image that you think people like. Because that's what a lot of people do on social media. Oh, this is the content that people appreciate. I don't care. If I do a content that I think would affect people, I post it. Whether people say, oh, you post more interview because you want to show yourself. I'm like, if you watch it, you get to the point. If you don't watch it, that's your fucking business. I'm not here to please 7 billion people. Like I said, it's just 1%. I'm here for just 1%. In Nigeria, just 1%. And you're not part of the 1%, you can be part of 99%. It's fine. You can share yourself with everybody else. But I'm here for the 1%. The 1%, when they see me like Noah's Ark, I don't need to tell them, they will walk into the ark. Simple. Noah did not go around telling people I built it. When it was time, animals walked in twos.
By themselves.
In just twos. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there were 1,000 snakes, there were 1,000, but just two came. That's me. The 1% is the two I want. Is the two I want.
I love that.
I want the two. You're not saying I'm dead. You're not a lion. I don't want the two, nigga. I don't want the twos. Let the two just come through.
And with those, I'll use them to repopulate the world.
Exactly. I'll create my own fucking world, nigga. You get all? That's the point.
Yeah.
The point is, come as you are, just two. I don't want everybody else. So my content, out of 7 billion people, out of 5 billion that are watching it, if I can get two, one male, one female, to be in there, I'm fine. You just need two. You just need one.
Just need one.
If you try, get two. But you just need one.
Starting with yourself.
Starting with you. You are the one. First. You're able to convince yourself. Tell yourself what you can offer. And work on yourself to become that. Leave the rest. I'm not here to keep myself. Everybody's saying trash about me. I'm like, yeah, you're part of 99%. It's fine. I don't really give a fuck about you. But that 2%. Somebody said, Sir Bright, you've inspired me. That's it.
Sweeter than mother's milk.
That's my two, and you're in. So I wake up in the morning, Anna is munching a message that was sent to her. They don't send it to me, so I'm sending it to her. When she munches, sent it to me. And like, Brad, in case you're just feeling like you're just feeling down, just know that you're fucking changing the world.
Okay.
And I'm like,
it's 2020. How can you use munch at this time?
What did you call it now?
It's screenshot. I'm munching. That's BBM. That's 2009. 2010.
Screenshot. I think munch is easier to spread than screenshot anyway. Screenshot is like, it's literally. Screenshot is literally.
Yeah.
But munch is like way better. I don't know why they changed screenshot. Screenshot is like literally screenshot. Yeah. But munch is the better way. It's a cooler way. Anyways.
But yeah, man.
I always, like, for me, I think I always enjoy having these conversations anytime, any day, because this is probably what we're going to leave and die tomorrow right now. This is probably be the one day that we'll go back to and be like, oh, he said this. I mean, we're going back right now, we're watching Kobe's interviews,
you know,
and I'm like, fuck!
You know.
Like, I still watch the guy, my pastor right now, is Miles Moreau. He's been dead for days. But the content that guy has online doesn't go out.
It doesn't go out.
I go every Sunday, I wake up in the morning, I look for a new one, boom. So there's something, I'm not outwatched what he has online. So, I mean, all these things, I get hired most of the time, so I have an interview. But I'm like, I'm depositing content. This might just be what I will leave behind when I'm not here anymore, and we can go back and say, oh, he said this. Because both of the things that
most of the videos that Kobe had before he died did not have the views that he had now.
Yeah.
True. So a lot of people were not even listening then.
Yeah.
I mean, people were not listening to Kobe then, actually. Yeah. A lot of people were not listening. All these things that... Because it was when he died that he got the attention. So imagine the content that he had made all over the years was now him now living even when he wasn't here. So he actually even... Kobe actually lived more when he wasn't here than when he was here.
Gee.
Yeah. He made... the whole fucking world stopped for Kobe. Till today.
That's what they call life after death.
Major life. This guy lived more when he was dead than when he was alive. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of life I want to live. I want to leave so much footprint that when I die, my life still becomes more. Jesus Christ is still being talked about after how many...
Because he left billion, content behind.
How many million years ago? Because he left, you know, so for me, every single opportunity I get, even sometimes I'm like, oh, I have to get my head checked.
Guy.
I'm like, I gotta do it.
If you find a way to turn 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 20,000 people, they remember you forever. So just know that.
Real. I mean, so I think it's about, I think content is real. Content is key. Mm. And, you know, especially someone who just don't want to live life, but want to leave a legacy and want to leave. I mean, Kijaja is dead how many years ago? It was dead a long time ago. His name is still being mentioned now. And I go anywhere and say, I'm Bright Jada. They're like, oh, Kijaja Wopobo. I think he leave a legacy, right? And he was just an outlaw. He was a slave that became a king, that became a slave owner. And not just a slave owner, but a foreign slave owner. Mm-hmm. But the first man that owned foreign slaves. Not like white people.
Yeah.
He had white people as a slave.
Wow.
You know, so he's like, he made a change. Yeah, he was killed. They couldn't wake up and just kill him. They had to bind him and told him that, oh, the queen wants to see you. And then they killed him there. Do you understand? So he's that powerful. They were taking people on ship with chains and taking them out. They had to invite him and say, okay, we want to celebrate you, we want to see you. And I said, okay, fine, I'll go as the boss. And then on his way there, he got there, now diverted himself and took him to exile for about 4 years. And then on his way back, he died. Probably poisoned him or something. Mm. But, I mean, the nigga didn't go out in chains.
Shit.
Do you get what I'm saying?
He went out
with an invitation letter from the queen. Allah, I'm going to come through. Do you get what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Well, on that rebel again, I said, you guys cannot take our oil. And they respected him, right? He had powers that they couldn't understand how, because he went to stay in an island that was under the water. And every single time they tried to go, go and disturb the sharks. And they'll start causing trouble. And that was his army. The sharks were his army.
Shit?
Yeah, they start causing trouble around the water. And they'll just go back. They can't fight. They have to bring him out of the island for them to be able to kill him. You know, so he created a legacy. And he did amazing. And I'm like, and that inspires me every single day. The person that was brought in chains to serve, he was sold by his own parents as slave. And he served. And that's one thing that young people don't want to do. They don't want to serve. They just want to become... he served and paid for his freedom by himself.
Mm.
Paid for his freedom and said, okay, now I'm free. Can I go? Took his people, went to an island and became king of his own island and got enslaved and did all of that stuff. He became one of the number one oil seller in the entire country, probably even Africa. Became one of the richest men in Africa at some point, in Nigeria at some point. But this is somebody that was a slave. That was literally a slave, right? To a black, to an African, to a Nigerian, like, was a king. Like, you know, where they sell, like, people from the village and say, okay, go and work for this person. That's that, but he was a slave.
Yeah.
You know, so for him to do that, come out of that, I feel like there's nothing impossible for anyone to achieve if you actually put your mind in it and actually work every single day towards achieving it. So,
guys, Brighton said it. That's your Monday motivation, day, every day motivation. I don't know what you want to call it, but the one which you said is legacy. So we've done it, we've left it. This is it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bright. But one more time again, because I interrupted you. So on Instagram, you're on at?
Yeah. Instagram is at official Bright Jaja. Twitter is Jajazi. LinkedIn is Bright Jaja.
What about iCreate?
But follow me on Instagram and Twitter. iCreate is iCreate Africa, basically. And then we have the skillers.ng now. So if you are a skilled professional that have what it takes, listen, I'm not going to whine you guys. I'm not a marketer. I like saying the truth.
the Skillers platform is for people who have what it takes, not for everyone. So if you don't, you have what it takes. You have great product, you have great skills, you want the world to know what you have, and you want to benefit from it, you can go to skillers.ng and sign up, and we will screen your content. We'll make sure that we create a profile for you. We'll add you to the community, and we'll make sure that you benefit from our entire infrastructure and our entire structure. So we're here to make change. We're not here to. I remember what I tweeted. I said, "A failing generation failed the generation that's failing our generation." Now, would we let our failing generation fail the next generation, or are we going to just break the goddamn cycle? And that's what I'm doing. I'm breaking the cycle, and we have to work together in our various space as young people to break that cycle. And breaking that cycle requires us doing things differently. Literally, like, differently. Like, don't follow the books. The books put us here. We're all unemployed because of those books that we read. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us are unemployed because of those books. So don't follow the books. Think out of the box. Try something new and be great. Signing out. Right, Jaja.
That's it. And this is The Young God.
If you made it to the end of this episode, you're a real one. Thanks again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, there's a whole lot more where that came from. Just scroll down, you'll see all the range of topics, guests, stories, whatever. I've put in some work for you guys, so there's something for everyone. I release episodes every Saturday at midnight, and depending on my mood, I might release 2 or 3. You know, I can be generous like that. So don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you feel so inspired. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And follow the podcast on Instagram at The Young God Pod and Twitter at I Am The Young God for exclusive content. And just, yo, we're in this, man. Thanks again. Rodney Amokachi, out.